Scripture lesson this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, beginning at verse number 14. Luke, chapter 4, beginning at verse number 14. And it's a rather long reading today, so just bear with me. When you have it, say amen. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Now, I want you to notice how things change quick when I read this next few verses. He said unto them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many of the lepers were in Israel in the time when Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So all of those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of a hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Amen. When the sermon turns sour, one of the hardest things that a preacher can ever do is to preach in his or her hometown. When you stand up in front of somebody and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and then everybody knows your background, they don't always say it, but they say, "This is the same little rascal who used to do this and do that. This is the same little girl who who used to act this way and act that way. And here it is in this text. Jesus is, he has been out preaching here and yonder. He's in his 30s now. He's been out preaching in Capernaum and around town, and he decides to go home. He goes, and as is his custom, he goes into the synagogue. And somebody sees him going into the synagogue, and they hand him the scroll, and he opens the book, and he turns to Isaiah, where it is said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, that I have been anointed." If you're going to go home to preach, you better be anointed. He goes home and he goes into the synagogues and he opens the book to this particular verse. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Make no mistake about it. In these days and times, you know, we are not sure who Jesus is on the side of the poor. I didn't expect to get too many amens from a middle class crowd. Jesus is on the side of the oppressed. Now you might say, you know, you might be in one of those arguments in terms. I remember doing President Barack Obama and John McCain's candidates. They was wondering, what does it mean to be rich today? And for me, if you're making $500,000 a year, that's pretty rich. But John McCain and that crew says, $500,000, that's not rich. Jesus is on the side of the oppressed. Jesus is on the side of the poor. And even in the church today, even in the church, we got this prosperity crowd that wants us to believe that Jesus is on the side of making everybody rich. Look at somebody and say, everybody's not going to be rich. But Jesus still loves you if you're only making minimum wage. So Jesus goes into the synagogue and he understands his mission. He's not necessarily sent to make everybody feel like they're going to be prosperous. He's not necessarily sent to make everybody feel like they're going to have a house in Florida and New Jersey and California. He's not necessarily sent to the rich to make them feel good. He's not necessarily sent to the rich to say, well, the reason you're rich is because you're a little more religious than those poor folk. And if they just get a little more Holy Ghost in them, then they would be just fine, just like you. He's sent to the brokenhearted. He's sent to the oppressed. He sent to the poor. He sent to the blind. He sent to those who are in prison. He sent to the captives to set them free. Look at somebody and say, that's the gospel. You don't have to like it. It's the gospel. Jackson's not making it up. It's right there. And he goes to his hometown folk, his hometown synagogue, the synagogue that he grows up in. Everybody sees him. And I can imagine, you know, Jesus had on a nice suit and whatever it is. And he had his best and he's walking downtown. He's groomed, probably been to John to get his hair cut and whatever. And so Jesus is going there and he's looking good. And he goes up and he preaches this word. And everybody said, oh, that's a great word. Oh, he's sent to preach this gospel. He's doing a great job. And everybody said, isn't that Joseph's son? Yeah. And then the message turns. Have you ever heard somebody start off good and say, boy, he's doing or she's doing great. And then it turned. Because he or she got too personal. So he's preaching. He's doing good. And then he gets down to about verse number 25, 26 and follows. And then Jesus says, I don't know why Jesus turns all of a sudden and changes his sermon. And he said, I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel on the day of Elijah's when the heavens were shut up for 3.5 years and there was great famine in the land. But none of them was Elijah sent to except Zarephath, which is to say, I know there were some starving women in Israel. There was a bunch of starving women in Israel, but Elijah wasn't sent to the starving women in Israel. He went to Zarephath and healed the woman and bring food to the woman at Zarephath. Then he didn't even stop there. Then he said, there was a lot of lepers in Israel, but Elijah did not come to heal those lepers in Israel. He went to heal a leper in Syria, which is to say, God has other people and meets other people's needs than yours. We're good as long as the preacher talks about, you know, let's just feed the sick. Let's make sure that we give our kids scholarships. Let's make sure that we give benevolence to our people. Let's just make sure we do everything for the members of Mount Olive. But look at somebody say, God's got some people in jail that don't belong to Mount Olive. God's got some people that need some help other than members of Mount Olive. And as long as we just give everything to Mount Olive and do and just take care of everybody in here, because everybody is holy and filled with the Holy Ghost and going to heaven anyhow, look at somebody and say, there's some, you can't tell who's been in jail in church. Everybody can put on a suit and tie. Everybody can get their hair cut. Everybody can buy a new pair of shoes. Everybody can get their hair done and buy a new pair of heels. You cannot look at somebody and tell that they've been to jail. And thanks be to God, because God loves everybody. You know, in this text, as long as Jesus was giving a good, prosperous sermon. And that's what bugs me about some of these prosperity preachers. They never want to get the gospel down in the dirt. Just, you know, come up and throw $100 on the altar up here and God will bless you. Oh, I just feel it. I feel it. Come. Here's a $100 crowd in here. Come up. Oh, this is the wrong crowd. Okay, where's the $50 crowd? As if that God only blessed is prosperity. How many of you know you're blessed if you woke up this morning? How many of you know you're blessed if you're in your right mind? How many of you know that you're blessed if you have a dream in your heart? How many of you know you're blessed even if you've been to jail? But if you have a dream, you can change your life. Jesus came to set the captives free. Lord knows we need to be set free from some of our backward ideas. And you know, prosperity gospel works. You know why it works? Because basically we agree. Everybody wants to hit the $1 million lotto. Everybody wants to be rich. And you get a preacher coming and say, yeah, I just feel it in my bones. You're about to have a breakthrough. You've been poor long enough. I got news for you. You're going to be poor longer. But God is still good. I got news for you. He can set you free in your mind. He can set you free in your spirit. I don't have any money to give you, but what I have to give you is the word, a lamp unto our pathway. He has anointed me to preach. That means, that's why you need to be anointed, because when you preach stuff that folk don't like to hear, don't want to hear, you got to stand up and say, everybody's not going to have 2 chickens in their pot. Everybody's not going to have 2 cars in their garage. Some of us is going to be enough just to have bus fare. Thanks be to God. Some of us is going to be enough just to have a job. We don't have to have a mansion. Just give me a 1-room apartment. Just give me enough money to pay my rent. Just give me some health insurance, for God's sake. Just give me some food to eat every day. It doesn't have to be steak every day. But if I could just have a steak on Sunday. In my house, growing up in my mother's house, I used to ask her, Mom, we had 2 sets of dishes. everyday dishes and Sunday dishes. And you could tell the kind of meal we were going to have based on the dish. Sunday, I still like going to my mother's house on Sunday. On Sunday, we had a meal and a half. But thanks be to God, every day is not going to be a Sunday meal. But we did have enough. I've never been hungry in my life. You can look at me and tell. The Lord will make a way somehow. He has anointed us to preach the gospel, not of prosperity, but of having enough. Jesus says, he goes into his synagogue and he says, you're not going to be rich. Some of you might be rich. Some of you are already rich. You're trying to act like you're not, but you're rich. You got money in the bank. You got 4Ks and all that kind of stuff. You really don't have to work, you know. How many know it's good to be in a place where you don't have to work? I'm not there yet. I got to hit it every day. I thought that one of these days when I got 62, my 401k would be there, and I'd come in and say, listen, if I feel like working. But, you know, I still am at the point where I have to keep my mouth closed sometimes. When I feel like saying something, I can't say it yet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Everybody's accountable to somebody. It'll be good to be set free when I got the Social Security and the pension and a little job on the side, and I can say what I'm not there yet. Jesus steps into his hometown synagogue, and he goes into his synagogue, and he gets up, and he's free because he preaches this gospel. Then he says that God, I know you want God. You want me just to be concerned about the famine in Israel, but God is interested in the famine all over the world. I know you want me just to be concerned about people in the church and in the prayer bed, but God is interested in the person on the street too. I got a feeling that we as a church ought to be asking for forgiveness of God for how we have not ministered to people in jail. I got a feeling not only the church, but I, as pastor, ought to be on my knees begging God's forgiveness for how we have failed big time with people in jail. And also how it took the fact that we had to get almost 1 in 5 of our men incarcerated before it would come to our attention that we ought to do so. Somebody ought to say, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord God, but thanks be to God, we might have messed up, we might have had a slow start, but we can start right now. We don't know all the things that we need to do. We don't know all the things that we're going to do, but we know we're going to try to do something. And doing a little bit is better than what we have been doing. God help us if we get to be a church so insulated that all we care about is the good kids. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, look at little Johnny. Oh, Joe. Look at little Marion. Oh, she's on her way to college. Oh, she's smart. She's never going to get pregnant. Oh, she's going to do everything right. I've watched this, some of the good kids. I've watched it right here. Some of those that I thought would never mess up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But just because they had a little slip doesn't mean that God is through with them. Amen? They might not have been in jail. I wish to God I'd have stopped when I saw that girl with her britches down. I almost had an accident anyway. You know, men can have an accident watching females all the time. I ain't never seen that before. You know, y'all don't say amen. You know what I'm talking about. My transparency can't get me in trouble. But here it is. I'm done. Make no mistake about it. I believe that God will provide for us. But I am not a prosperity preacher. I will not
I will not stand up here. And I know some of you, you go to these workshops and you come back here and you know, different one of you come and you've been to some prosperity thing and you just think that, you know, oh, my ship is coming in tomorrow. And that's good to have that, you know, but what if your ship don't come in? God is still good. And I noticed these cats, these preachers, you know, these prosperity, you know, they got jets. One of my members took pity's sake on me. And Reverend Stokes, you remember Stokes? She used to work out there at the Falcon Jet. She brought me a toy jet. She said, all these others got a jet. I want you to have a jet too. So I got it upstairs. I said, never mind giving me a jet. Just give me airfare. Yes. I have a jet. I wouldn't know what to do with it anyhow. Right. But if you just give me the plane, if you give me plane fare, $300, I can get on the jet. Yes, United, whatever. Don't be so selfish with the gospel that you think you're the only one that God can bless. If he blesses you, yes, he can bless somebody else. Yes. I don't know who's been in prison. It's not important. But it is. It's important. It's important, hopefully, somebody will be transparent enough and that we will grow enough to understand that just because you've been in prison doesn't mean that you're a bad person. As I said last week, you know, there's a whole lot of people in jail right now. They got arrested smoking a joint, and they got arrested smoking a joint nearby a school. And I'm not advocating, you know, that you go out there and smoke. And I'm not advocating that you smoke by a school. And I'm not advocating that, you know, you get involved in drugs. And I just read somewhere, now they're legalizing marijuana somewhere for health reasons. So it's all right over here, but it's not all right over there. And if you smoke it over here, that means you got 5 years. And all of a sudden, not only do you have 5 years, you got a sentence on you for the rest of your life. We got to check, congressman, hear me. That's not right. I don't know how you're going to fix it. I don't know how we're going to fix it. But I know one thing. We've got to take a look at these drug laws that's locking our sons and our daughters up in jail. And it is a new kind of slavery. And they are in these jails working for 80 cents a day. And there's something wrong with that. 80 cents a day. If that's not slavery, what is? Amen.